I'm proud of our graduating class, the high school and the college there. And I do pray that they're that song kind of goes with how I feel about you guys. I pray that you're not a slave to fear, that you will try anything. We've had a resurgence of young folks, and I just believe it's an answer to prayer, of young folks beginning to work in the church and to serve in the church in their late teens and 20s. And I want you to know, we want you, we embrace you serving, we embrace your new ideas, and we look forward to it. And but also want you folks old like myself, it ought to be fanning your flames instead of saying that you're done. It ought to be giving you a second wind like it has me. And it ain't done till the dirt's poured over. Living in the Spirit, part two. This has been one of my favorite lessons, I believe, that I've ever taught. Last week, if you wasn't here, you can catch that online, or you can download the app, Stitcher, and search North Point Church, and you can listen to it. Or you can get one of those free CDs out there. Maybe it was just me, but I believe it was one of the greatest lessons that I've ever learned these 2 weeks. So I will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit, who will help you and will keep on living in you. You are created to be a dwelling place of God on earth. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and dwells in me. I answered a couple of questions last week. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I put on there, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a continual availability to a constant flow of the Spirit's power. It's what it means to be. Then I answered the question of why must I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, God's Word commands it. Not a suggestion, but He commands it. And then the Holy Spirit is my power source. It's where we get our power, our strength. Well, what kind of strength does that give? And I gave you a list of four, I believe it was, and it said the strength to accomplish my goals. I thought of the graduates. You want the strength to accomplish your goals, the Holy Spirit's available. Then you have the strength to influence the world around me, no matter what age. I told the 9 o'clock service, why not us, this little old church up on the hill, to influence the world? Why not? Why can't God use us? Little town. Why not us? The strength to resist temptation. The Holy Spirit gives me the strength to endure trials. Then thirdly, we said, it's the only way that I can please God. Apart from God, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ. It's our purpose for living. It's why you're here. It's why you and I were created. For God, to love God and be loved by God. And without the Spirit, I cannot understand God's Word. We need the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us to read the Bible and to understand it. Let's just jump right into this week. I won't keep you here long. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What the Scripture is referring to and what I'll try to teach today is it's a lifestyle. To walk in the Spirit is a lifestyle, how you live your life. Now, does that mean I'm going to walk around in a trance, all blurry-eyed and shouting hallelujah? Is that I'm going to be acting funny? I'm going to be talking weird. Am I going to only be using special religious language. Nope. That's not what it means. I got some news for you. You can really let this sink in. God does not want you to be weird. God does not want you to be religious. God wants you to be real. He wants you to be authentic. He wants you to be you, who He created you to be. And what He does in you, He wants to do through you. Not stay there. He wants to flow. He wants you and me to show folks what life is really all about. He wants you and me to show folks what freedom really looks like. He wants us to be real, not religious. So when it talks about walking in the Spirit, it's talking about our lifestyle. It's talking about the choices that you and I make, our code of ethics, the values that we live by, and the character that's being developed in you. Write this down here. To walk in the Spirit means to live God's way. Means to live God's way and to live by His power. Galatians 5:16 at the bottom of your outline says this: walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that you're filled with the Spirit, now that you're walking in the Spirit, it says, let your life reflect on the outside what's going on in the inside. Now, when I study and I read the Scripture, I like to notice a couple of things that some of the verses do not say. I want to tell you what this verse does not say. When I read it, it does not say this: walk in the Spirit, and you shall not have the lust of the flesh. You see, it doesn't say that you'll never be tempted. If you walk in the Spirit, it says you won't fulfill it. If you walk in the Spirit, you and I are going to be tempted. There's never going to come a time when you are beyond temptation. You get that? There's never going to come a time when you think that you are beyond temptation, you're really in trouble. You are really in trouble, because Jesus Himself was tempted. What we're saying is, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill it. There will never be, I'll just tell you this, there's never going to be a time in your life where you're completely sinless. But when you walk in the Spirit, you can sin less. You can sin less when you're filled with the Spirit. Now, another thing that this does not say is this: do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do not fulfill the lust of the flesh as you walk in the Spirit. Sometimes many of us read that verse backwards. We think like this: if I just behave myself, and if I just don't do anything wrong, then I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. If I do really good, you know, that's not what it says. You can only go one of two ways. You can go right or left, or you can go up or down, or you can go forwards or backwards. But you can't go both ways at the same time. You see, it all has to do with your focus, where you're headed. So if you walk in the Spirit, then you will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So what are you focused on? Like I said, for a lot of us folks, we read this verse backwards, and then when you read it backwards, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh when you walk in the Spirit, and you walk in the Spirit. When you read it backwards, what you're doing is then you're getting a list of don'ts. I want you to follow me. You say, if I don't do this or if I don't do that, if I just stop doing this or that, then I can walk in the Spirit. Stop focusing on the don't. Even Adam and Eve, most of us are familiar with the story of Adam and Eve. Their biggest problem was they were focused on the don't. You know, God said, here's this beautiful garden for you guys to be in and run and play and eat and just have a good time, but don't fool around with that tree. Don't fool around the tree. That's all I ask you. Don't fool around with the tree over here. Don't eat that fruit. Well, instead of focusing on what they did have and the good things, they focused on the don'ts. And when we read this verse backwards, we begin to focus on the don'ts. And when you focus on the don'ts, it's what you're drawn to. You know, I was told all my life early on, don't you smoke no cigarettes, don't you smoke no cigarettes. And don't you smoke, you know what else. Don't do this, don't do that. Well, guess what I was drawn to? I fulfilled a lot of don'ts. I was drawn to don'ts. So don't read it backwards. All I'm saying is just walk in the Spirit, follow the ways of the Lord, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Follow the ways of the Lord. I mean, I've told you guys before, lots of times, I'll admit I make mistakes, but if we were honest and we were sitting somewhere besides church, we were at the table having lunch, you know, where you bought me lunch, and we were there, and I would have to tell you, you know what? I sin sometimes. Then when I got real down deep, and you know what I'd have to tell you why I sin sometimes? I like to. You know why? When I really break that apart, it's because you and me were driven by our passions. We're driven by our passions. And the only way to get rid of old passion is to get a new passion. The only way to get rid of the old passion is to get a new passion. And so what I mean is when you start to feed a new passion, then you'll starve this old one out. You'll starve the old one to death. And when you walk in the Spirit, the old ways of the flesh, the old nature, the old temptations, they begin to lose their grip on you. When you walk in the Spirit of God that dwells inside you, walk in that Spirit. What does that mean? It means to live. Live God's ways. Live His way. He said, if you'll just walk in the Spirit step by step, moment by moment, when your focus becomes on me, the things of the world are going to mean less and less and less. And you will not be fulfilling the things of the flesh. It all has to do with the focus of your mind and your heart. So I got to ask you, what are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? Is it money? Is it fame? Power? Pleasure? Or is it God? Is it God? I'm not saying religious. I'm not saying next week, you know, that you're going to be the Pope. But is it things of God that you're pursuing? It's your decision. It's your decision to walk in the Spirit. It's your decision of what you're chasing after. How will you live your life? What will it be focused on? Will it be temporary? Or will it be eternal? Follow Jesus. Surrender to Him daily. Surrender Him daily. Stay in the Word. He wants you and I to have a full life and an anointed life. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. Guys, I got to tell you, that's freedom. And if I could give you a piece of advice I think that I wished I'd have taken is don't make deliberate wrong choices that break God's heart. Don't make deliberate wrong choices. It quenches the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit by smothering it with the wrong things. Or you can quench the Spirit inside you by refusing to feed it. Don't quench what God is doing in you. Don't put the fire out. Stir it up. Fan the flame. Well, how do I know when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? I think it's on the back side of your book, your page. How do I know when I'm filled with the Spirit? What do I look for? Well, many people that I've talked to over the past few years and denominations and things, they look for particular signs of gifts. Certain signs. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to God's people. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. Now to teach, one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for common good. To teach. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge. To another, faith. All these are gifts. To another, gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. That's discernment. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He gives them to each one just as He determines. Now, I've given you a couple of more verses in there about the gifts that God gives us. And I've written them in there. You guys can go back and look at that later. But I told you before, some folks look for a specific gift as proof that one is filled with the Holy Spirit. That's true. And as holy as they are, the Bible teaches us that they are not, that there is not one specific gift that a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to get that. There's just not one specific gift. Instead, the primary sign is this, if you write this down. The primary sign is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Because fruit is a natural outgrowth of character. The fruit that's on the outside tells you what's going on the inside. And here's what the Bible says about that fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Paul discusses the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, I want you to look at 13. Because right in the middle where he discusses the gifts in 12 and 14 is chapter 13. Amen? That's what comes after 12 and right after 14. But sometimes we skip it. Paul says this, even if I have all of these gifts, if the fruit ain't there, then they're pretty meaningless. They are meaningless. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Guys, no matter how many gifts that God has given me, no matter how I use this gift of teaching, if the fruit ain't there, I'm just making noise. It's just for show. Do you get it? If the fruit ain't there, we're just making noise. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit that reflects the character of the Spirit. Amen? It's the fruit. Because the fruit is the natural outgrowth of character. So I have to ask myself, what is the fruit of my life? I think you should ask yourself, what is the fruit of your life? No matter how many gifts I have, am I mean to my family? No matter how many gifts I have, am I a good employee? No matter how many gifts I have, am I good to my employees or co-workers? How am I doing with my in-laws? You see, you can't come in here and speak in tongue on Sunday and beat your wife on Monday. I can't come up here and teach and be mean to Nick on Monday. What Nick say, amen? Is that what he said? Preach on. Lee can't come up here and sing and be dishonest in his dealings. Walking in the Spirit. You can't be one person. Remember, you got to go left or you got to go right. You go north or south. You got to go one way. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you can't be one man or one woman on Sunday and be different Monday through Saturday. Amen? You just can't do it. You see, that verse tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is the most important. The fruit of the Spirit is most important. Not the gifts, but the fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, self-control, patience. Oh, that's what's important. And the Bible tells us to seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the above all else, the fruit that you and I produce is what we're really full of. Shows what you're really full of. And I think you heard me there. How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Write this down. Ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. It is a continual availability to a constant flow of the Spirit's power. Just ask and keep on asking. Jesus said, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Ask with your words, seek with your heart, and knock with your actions. Ask, seek, knock. It ought to be like when I was a kid, when I was a kid, all I wanted to do was drink water. I was so thirsty all the time. I was thirsty all the time. And that's the way it ought to be with this asking. Lord, I'm thirsty. Can I have another drink? Ask and keep on asking. Ask with your whole heart. I love the way the Old Testament puts it in Jeremiah. Where am I? You will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. God is looking for people who are looking for God. And he wants to fill you and me with his Spirit. He wants us to live an anointed life. He wants you to fill you with his presence, his power. And he wants to fill you with the fruit of the Spirit. Guys, I said before, you and I, we were created to be his dwelling place on earth. Second Chronicles tells us the eyes of the Lord are searching the whole earth for people who are seeking him. Jesus said, you seek me, keep knocking, love will overflow. It'll overflow. John 7 says this, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning of the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Guys, God wants you and I to live a victorious life. He wants you to live an anointed life. He wants you to live a spirit-filled life. God wants you to live a spirit-empowered life. A life where the fruit of the Spirit is abundant and overflowing. And this has been God's plan all along. Remember my favorite chapter, Romans 8? He says, from the beginning, God wanted me and you to be like his Son, Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, that the Holy Spirit would dwell inside of us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, last one. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the God, of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. As the Holy Spirit works within us and the fruit that we begin to bear, we become more and more like Jesus in the way we speak, in the way we think, in the way we act, and in the way we live, and the way we love. We can't leave love out of it. Just as a side note, did y'all, anybody see that preacher's sermon on love on the wedding yesterday? Wasn't that something? Oh, it was good. Who else ain't over here? Wasn't it good? Oh, man. Me and y'all two was the only one that watched the wedding in here, wasn't it?
I woke up, turned the TV on, there it was, and I couldn't quit
listening. I guess I was the only man that was interested in the wedding. Who was? That's good. I like. But he had a wonderful sermon on love and how love has to be included. And if you do it without love, if you speak tongues without love, if you work without love, you're a clanging cymbal. You're just making noise. You're just making noise. And it don't, it's meaningless. But you seek the world, seek him, fill your life daily with his word. And guys, when we do that, we won't see victory in the old things of this world. It'd be a new world. But it's all through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can have it every day and ask the Lord for a fresh, this is what I want to tell you. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you were doing when you got here. You can ask the Lord for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit every day. Now, I would suggest doing it in the morning. Fill me in a fresh way. And then in faith, walk in that. Walk in that in faith the rest of the day. In faith, walk in the ways of the Lord in that freshness that you received. Walk in that faith. Now, we're going to do that in a moment. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you want to come down here and pray, you do it from your seat. I found out the Lord works just good back there as he does up here, but there's something about coming to the altar and laying it. We lay dead stuff at the altar, as Lee taught. But ask the Lord to fill you in a fresh way. And so I got to ask you, do you want that strength that we talked about to face the challenges that you got coming? Do you want the strength to influence others? Do you want the strength to seize opportunities that's going to be coming your way? As Lee saying, there's no longer. You no longer have to be afraid of fear, a slave to fear, and let it govern your life. And do you, as the preacher said yesterday, do you want more love in your life? To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Joy. Do you want more joy? Do you want more peace? Do you want more patience? Do you want more kindness? Do you want more gentleness? Do you want more faithfulness? Do you want more self-control? Just ask for it. And keep on asking. Wherever you and I go, as the Holy Spirit dwells inside us, we take God with us. Keep on asking. And remember, Galatians 5:22. in 23. It's the most important evidence of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. Let's pray. My Lord, it's still morning for some folks. And I pray that they ask and they seek and they honestly want a fresh start this morning. That they've been leaking, man. They've been leaking. And they need a filling. They need their cup overflow. And that what you do in them, you'll work through them to others. I pray for that young lady. When someone meets you today, they may not say, but they're going to say, something's different about you. They may not look and say, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's what it'll be. It doesn't have to be real religious. She can just be her. And she can love the unloved. Being filled with the Spirit, it don't make us snooty. It don't make us be Sister Betty better than you. What it makes us is Philippians 2:3, considering others more important than ourselves. Help us to make the right choices. Help us not to deliberately make the wrong ones and break your heart. Lord, and freedom. I thank you for a free and abundant life. And in that freshness, I'm going to walk in the Spirit in faith today when we leave here. And then in the morning, I'm going to ask for a new freshness, Lord. Tuesday, I'm going to ask for it again. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Need to freshen up every day. Well, we love you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.